Welcome, everyone, to First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin on this beautiful Easter morning. Thank you all for being here to worship with us. My name is Vicki Bailey Miller, and I am the chairperson of the Children and Youth Programming Committee, and I am so pleased and proud to be here with Reverend Lena Breen and with Reverend Ed Brock on this Easter morning. So let's all go to our litany, which is Pass It On. And I will read the bold, and then you, as the congregation, will read in italics. Wear a big, bright smile.
Pass it on.
Look someone right in the eye and listen to them as if they are the only one in the world. Let them know you care.
Pass it on.
Show someone a picture of something important to you.
Pass it on.
Share an important activity with others, something that gives you joy. It could be a cause, something creative, or something fun.
Pass it on.
Show someone how to dance and boogie.
Pass it on.
Tell your story to someone and be ready to hear theirs.
Pass it on.
Point out something of beauty. Don't keep it all to yourself.
Pass it on.
Let someone hug your teddy bear.
Pass it on.
Hope for peaceful relations among all people of the world, beginning with our own actions toward those around us.
Pass it on.
Pass it on. Pass it on. Pass it on. Share the big things and little things that make your life special. Give a piece of hope to someone, and hope will come back to you. Give a piece of love to someone, and love will come back to you. Pass it on, pass it on, pass it on. Thank you. Please join me in stating our mission. And you can read it up on the wall, or you can read it on your paper, or you probably know it by heart now. And what we're going to say is, we gather in community to nourish souls, transform lives, and do justice.
Well, you might be amazed to hear this, but from time to time, people will ask me, as a Unitarian Universalist minister, what do you believe about Easter? And quickly, they must know, as I'm about to tell them, that we UUs do not believe what is widely believed about Jesus' death and resurrection, but we do believe something about that wonderful story, and Lena and I would like to share some thoughts.
First of all, Easter is a spring festival. Long ago, people did not really know that spring would come again. They didn't know about the seasons as we do now. Many thought that winter would never end. So when the days began getting longer, it was a reason to celebrate. We too celebrate the coming of spring with the warmth of flowers and the beauty that spring brings. It does seem that the earth is indeed coming alive again.
Now, our Jewish friends have a spring festival too. They call it Passover. And indeed, this congregation celebrated a Passover celebration on Friday night, attended by almost 100 of our members. And this great story celebrates the escape of the Jewish people from Egypt over 3,500 years ago. And in fact, Jesus had gone to Jerusalem, if we believe the gospel narrative, to celebrate Passover when he was arrested and killed.
Now, at this time of year on Easter, our Christian friends believe that on the third day after his death, Jesus came alive again. Some of them believe that he actually left the tomb, visited his disciples, and then went to heaven. Others believe it was his spirit which arose.
Surely Easter is a time to reflect on life and death and life after death. We do not know what comes after death. No one in our knowledge has come back and reported that sojourn. But one thing we do know and know with certainty, and that is that the memories of those near and close to us who we love linger with us far after they have died. And that is indeed a presence. You may remember someone, perhaps a grandmother or a grandfather or a dear relative or friend who died, but yet they are present with you now in memory.
This is what I think happened in Palestine 2,000 years ago. I think Jesus had been crucified on a wooden cross because some men were afraid that he would overthrow the government and change their religious ways. His followers loved him so much that they could not forget him. Stories began to spread so that so good a man could not possibly be dead, that he must still be alive, that he had risen from the dead.
In Palestine, so many years ago, fantasy and truth could blur into one another. Nothing was known then about science as we know it. And the idea that dead things could not come alive once again was unknown as we understand it. And the followers of Jesus surely told miraculous stories of his rebirth so everyone would know the preciousness of that life that had passed from them. Some who heard these stories wrote their own stories as they imagined his life and his death, and the Bible stories of Jesus rising from the tomb are part of the result of that activity. They were not meant to deceive people or to tell untruths. They were meant to convince people that Jesus was truly a life-changing person and that he was, in the eyes of some, the Son of God.
Today, we do not believe that these miraculous stories are really true, but they do show us what a strong influence Jesus had. And we do know enough about Jesus to admire him for having lived a fine life. The Christian heritage is indeed one of our six sources. He was a great man. We can admire him for the life that he led. He was a big and important teacher who taught people to love rather than hate. And I can't think of a more important thing or message to teach our children and to be reminded of as adults. On Easter, Unitarian Universalist ministers try to remember Jesus. And that is what we think Unitarian Universalists believe about Easter.
Amen, sister. I was 14 years old when my mother took me to what was called the sunrise service. I was uncomfortable with her zeal. I would have gladly continued to sleep. But it was interesting, I might add, when I could hear preachers of different faiths. For during that one brief shining moment, here we were in a southern community, but we were embracing across party lines, as it were, celebrating, at least to some extent, our common humanity. My beliefs, I must confess, about religion have changed quite a bit over the intervening years. And this is specifically true of the symbol of the resurrection. To what extent is the Jesus of the gospel narratives historically? No one really knows. But if we look at the New Testament narrative as a whole and see what happened in that narrative in the context of historical events around it, it seems that in and through the life and teachings of Jesus, this Jewish teacher, whose teachings never varied outside of Jewish belief, there occurred from it a cluster of events that created a changed atmosphere from what people had known and experienced as normal. It was a disruption in the way the world worked, and something new emerged, or something submerged rose up, creating a powerful impression on a group of people. Some characteristics of this new social reality are that healings occurred. The modern mind really doesn't know what to make of these stories, but they are insistently there, suggesting that there were changes happening in people's mental and physical and emotional lives. There was an identification with the outcast, with the forgotten, with the marginalized, and calling into question the rights and privileges of the powerful. There was a continual critique of the system of domination prevalent at the time. A reversal, in fact, in which the first would now be last, and the last would now be first in the kingdom to come. There was an emphasis on radical forgiveness and compassion. There was a dissolving of walls, a moving towards a social space in which there were no enemies. Jesus often speaks in the gospel narratives of the kingdom of God, which refers to a social reality that he believed or taught was being constructed or was imminent in the world. We can see in our modern times a similar movement in the life of Gandhi. Gandhi created and was in the process of creating, before his assassination, a new social order in which, indeed, the marginalized were treated in a humane way. We see a similar movement in the work and life of Martin Luther King Jr. And many a Unitarian Universalist minister was inspired by King's attempt to create a new social order. In the time of Jesus, the powers of the world, rooted and structured in certain groups dominating others, asserted itself against this subversion to its way of ordering life. Rome was ruled with a degree of cruelty and brute force, which today we would associate with the most repressive governments on earth. But the people who experienced the alternative community around Jesus, this alternative way of relating to people, could not let that go with the death of Jesus. They could not let it go because, I think, it brought into their lives a new way of seeing and being and living, which was deeply satisfying, and we might say life-giving. I had an experience similar, I think, to what the disciples experienced a number of years ago. About 7 years ago, I attended a week-long seminar in Switzerland led by Dr. Marshall Rosenberg, who is a genius in the area of communication and building community. About 40 people from literally all over the world were there, from India, from Pakistan, from Germany, from France, from Belgium, from Sweden, from the U.S., from Japan. And all of them were community activists who had struggled with trying to build communities. For more than a week, we experienced a depth of openness with one another. A being able to be oneself, warts and all, lightness and darkness, the richness of who we were with one another, fully, completely, without shame, without hesitation. And at the end of that time, we all, mostly to our surprise, had experienced something that had been very rare for most all of us. And for years after that event, people were doing things to try to recreate what we had at that time. So I understand the struggle of the followers of Jesus to not let go. And from this place of holding on to this revelation, to an alternative experience of living, they were receptive to stories which held to the story that Jesus had not died. And in the first century world, where anything and everything is possible, where there is no scientific mentality, where the careful arbitration between truth and fantasy doesn't exist, stories of Jesus living beyond the grave took hold. It began with early Christians searching the Jewish tradition for models to make sense of their conviction that Jesus was still alive. The resurrection is a symbol for the belief that what was manifest in Jesus' life should not perish. Another way of saying this is that whatever healings occurred, whatever solidarity with the poor and the outcast, whatever critique of power, whatever dissolving of walls of separation that had occurred, represented a new possibility that was too precious to let go. From a scientific perspective, you could say this was a struggle between the oldest part of our brain system and the possibilities brought about by the newest parts of our brain, which are capable of reflecting on a variety of possibilities and not acting automatically in accord with instinct. You could say it is a struggle between where the human being had come from in its long evolutionary journey and what it could be, must be, if we are to survive. One could say that it was a struggle between the rule of the jungle and the rule of law and moral principles, and on and on. I am certain of this, however, that we are still engaged in the struggle. We live, each of us, continually at the crossroads between a principled way of living and a way of living based on unconscious emotional processes. This congregation is intentionally and continually pushing the frontier and the boundary of this frontier. When the congregation declared its covenant of healthy relations, when it's defined boldly its mission, its vision, and its ends, it took up the ancient struggle to forge a truly human community out of the rough material of our tendency to wander in the wilderness of instinctual reactions without end. the poet William Stafford from Oregon addresses the fragility of our moral principles against all the influences that would diminish or abolish them in this poem entitled A Ritual to Read to Each Other. He writes, "If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible arrows of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote region, important region, in all who talk, though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes or no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep." In our religious community, we are trying to live in accord with moral principles that have, for some, a religious depth and mooring. But it is so easy to see our principles as unreal, as trivial, or as inconsequential. And this was the position of the Roman authorities in the Christian myth. But we may, from another angle, take the symbol of the resurrection as real, and the world of moral and spiritual truth as real as rocks and trees. We may believe, like the early disciples so long ago, that there is always the possibility of a new world, that it may at any moment occur among us all. So may it be. Amen. I share with you this benediction. May an awareness of the gifts of life and the possibilities of change and renewal of each moment be in us and among us. May all the memories we gather here give us hope and gladness for the future. May the love we experience here strengthen our hearts as we let our principles guide our deeds. And may that peace that passes all understanding be in us and among us and with us until we meet again. Amen.
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.